Hey everyone, welcome to the Flight Test Podcast. This is a bonus podcast.
Extra.
Bonus. we mentioned in the podcast we just released with Brendan Schulman that we were having trouble with the files that we recorded for Trappy's podcast, and we didn't know if that was going to be released or not. But Dave Knopp.
Knopp Top,
our hero and savior, did... voodoo magic.
He hacked into the mainframe and found the files and rescued them and brought them back to safety
and re-merged them and revived them and
exported them, and now we're bringing them to you.
Can we use a couple more adjectives to describe what he did? Sure. So anyway, thanks to Dave Knopp, you can all listen to Trappy's interview now. We covered some similar topics that we covered to Brendan, but of course they're from Trappy's perspective, so talking about more about the FAA stuff, just how that, you know, affects the RC hobby in general, mm-hmm. how that could potentially affect flight test, and we just talked about some of the flying that we did and that sort of thing while he was here.
Yeah, and the reason we decided to release these both at the same time as opposed to holding on to it for a week is there's only 1 week left to comment on the FAA's reinterpretation of the model aircraft laws. It's a super big deal, so we need all of you to go to regulations.gov and post a comment, and we'll talk more about it in the podcast, but we need to make sure that everybody's voices is heard, so a change can be made. So,
and if you're tired of hearing about that, then we've done our job. thanks for listening, everyone, and let's jump right in the interview.
All right.
So we've been hanging out with Trappy.
Yes, we have been having a great time with Trappy.
Past 2 days. What have we been up to the past couple days, guys?
Hanging out, flying. Yep. Honestly, getting an eye-opener on new policies, trying to be forced through. And that's probably what we're going to talk about today a lot.
Yep.
And I'm popping my peas. I'm going to back it up a little bit. There we go.
Better. Yeah, we've a hot topic since Trappy's been here. Has been talking about FAA stuff.
Yep.
And we actually shot an update video.
Another one.
Which it'll probably already be out by the time this releases.
We should introduce who we are.
Yeah, we should.
Because it's always different.
I'm Austin Fury.
I'm Josh Bixler.
I'm Trappy.
And my name is Alex Zavada.
Yep. And also, we're going to have a full podcast dedicated, but we have another person hanging in here. It's Peter Schriepel.
Hey guys.
AKA also, Foam and Tape.
Yep, not from and Foam and Tape, like I've been saying. It's AKA.
I don't know where that came from. Everyone calls you Foam and Tape everywhere I go, so.
Yeah, a matter of fact, we posted a picture of you flying around a floppy dude. Yep. And if you guys are wondering what we're talking about, go to our Facebook page and check that out. But yeah, Peter is quite an accomplished pilot. Oh, look, my phone's ringing.
Shocking.
It's my brother. Okay, I'm going to message him and tell him I'll call him later. There we go. Sorry about that.
Done deal.
That was awkward. So, okay.
Did we say that Peter's working here?
Yes, Peter is now officially full-time and part of the Flight Test family. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Peter. You're a brave man.
This first day was Wednesday.
Yeah.
Wednesday, but that means nothing because this podcast is going out in a week. So
yeah, it's going on next week.
Once upon a time, Wednesday.
He had Peter's first day.
Yeah. Are you having fun?
Yep. So far, it's been pretty exciting, actually.
Pretty exciting? It's kind of crazy we get to call this work, huh?
Yeah.
But it's a lot of it. It's a lot of craziness put together. But, you know, Trappy was gracious enough to come down and, where'd you drive from?
From Decatur, Illinois.
Decatur, Illinois. That's about, what, 6 hours?
7 hours.
So.
If you don't go the wrong way.
Yeah. Yeah, you drove till 2:30 in the morning to get down here. And, he was gracious enough to come down, show some of his new technology coming out. And, you're looking like there's something he's adjusted.
No, it's fine. I'm just going to adjust this mic.
Okay. I can see the shifting in his eyes. Sorry about that. Also shifting in his eyes. I knew something was up. You were gracious enough to bring some new technology with you, too, and also...
Yeah, actually, when he sent us a package, he asked us a couple weeks ago if he could send us a box of stuff for when he gets here, and it happened to show up, like, literally 5 minutes before he walked in the door.
We were getting ready to pounce on it.
Right when he was walking in the door, I was cutting into the box, and I was like, oh, what is this? Look at all this stuff. And he's like, yeah, that's my stuff.
Give it back.
Don't touch that.
I'm like, sorry, Trent.
You know, if he was 30 minutes later, we would have been like, I don't know what you're talking about.
We would have been out back flying it.
Yeah. But it's incredible. And you also brought something that you had to repair the night before because it was ripped apart, wasn't it?
Yeah, the TSA took a very close look at my Discovery.
Wow. So. Did they learn anything? Like,
I don't know. Maybe they'll make their own one now.
Well, when we were going to Europe, there was we were getting on the getting ready to get on the plane for our first flight, and it was a police officer. Mm-hmm. We were getting something out of one of our bags.
Oh yeah.
And there was a bunch of carbon fiber rods. Actually, it was for the camera rig. It wasn't even for a multi-copter.
For the Red Rocks rig.
But he's like, "What is that? Is that a pellet gun? Because apparently there had been a bunch of people for like a pellet gun competition going through the airport.
Yeah,
we're like, "No, it's a carbon fiber boom. It's actually for a camera rig. We shoot a YouTube series." And he started asking all these questions, and we told him what he did. And as we were talking, he actually pulled out his phone and pulled up one of our videos. He's like, yeah. "This is what you guys do?" He's like, "Where are you going?" We're like, "Switzerland." He's like, "What?"
Yeah. And then afterwards, we're waiting to go into security, and he comes up. He's like, "I've been watching videos. This is hysterical. This is great." But you actually, he benefited you greatly because you left a pocket knife that was really dear to you, wasn't it?
Yeah, I had my grandfather's pocket knife in my pocket when I was going through security.
Yeah.
And I last minute, I like reached my pocket. I'm like, "Uh-oh." So I ran out to him and gave it to him, and my dad came by and picked it up. So that was cool.
Thank you, police officer guy. If he's become enough of a fan, he's listening to our podcast.
Yeah, if so, thank you.
Yeah, that was really nice of you, but... yeah, they were nicer to us. I know when we were in Switzerland going home, and one guy's like, "What in the world is this?" And I was like, "Well, it's a transmitter. What does it do? It controls airplanes. Where are the airplanes?" "Well, they're already checked." And he was like, "Aw." So we packed it up, but they weren't as nice to your stuff. I guess it was pretty ripped apart.
Well, yeah, it was pretty badly taken apart, but it was the first time. I mean, I've been coming here quite a lot lately, and I haven't had problems since, so I hope it's an isolated incident.
There you go. Well, it was impressive. This new, what do you call it?
We don't really call it anything at the moment. Long-range Discovery or Endurance. Yeah.
It's basically a TBS Discovery Pro with really big booms and really big props.
I thought it was going to be called the Enduro Disco.
Enduro, yeah, that sounds good.
Enduro, I like that.
You'll get commissioned.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'll get you my address after the...
Yeah. We had a lot of fun with it, though, and your little mini hex is amazing.
Yeah,
that was in the box. Yes. So I was really excited when I opened it.
Yeah, a lot of technology packed into a little thing that looks like a potato.
Are we allowed to talk about it?
When is this going up? Friday, right? Next week.
Yeah, in a week.
Yeah.
It'll be all right.
Yeah.
Cool.
And like nobody listens to this anymore.
Yeah.
It's just going out to dead space.
So basically in the box there was the TBS Gemini, which is the new mini racing spider hex.
Yeah.
And it is pretty impressive.
It's built a race, too.
Yeah, and actually the one that was in the box is the only existing prototype at the moment. So we had to be very gentle with it.
What did your guys do to you?
I was going to say, your friends play a little trick on you.
Yeah, my friends hate me. they dialed down the throttle by about 70%, so I couldn't really turn it up. But it still flies quite fast.
It's still got cooking.
Yeah.
What could you have possibly done that would make them do that?
I'm famous for crashing unique prototypes.
So do you have any stories of crashing a unique prototype that or that you want to share or relive?
Yeah, sure. that was actually the Enduro Discovery.
Okay.
We flew it from the back of a prison up to a mountaintop, and literally as we were approaching the mountaintop, just something started to give in. I don't know, maybe a screw went loose.
That sounds reasonable.
You should check those.
Well, you know, the five flight rule, we have that, but we didn't really live by it at that time. So, yeah, and then it fell into a really steep cliff, and as I was trying to get it, climbing up a tree, looking down, checking for the signal, and then suddenly the tree branch broke.
And the tree was hanging over the cliff?
No, I mean it was inside the steep part, right?
Okay.
So it was about 5 meters up. So that's about, how much is that, 15 feet?
That's a good 15 feet up,
15 feet up.
Inside the cliff.
Yeah. Inside the cliff.
So you're like scaling down the cliff, climbing up a tree in the cliff, and then it broke.
And this was in Hong Kong?
In Hong Kong, yeah.
Yeah, so that's like jungle.
Yeah,
junglescape.
Into the pit of a snake. I didn't see the snakes, but
they were there.
Of course they were.
It was like where they filmed that bad scene of King Kong, right?
Yeah.
Where all the insects jumped out and tried to eat people. That's pretty crazy stuff. Now, you at least know that people love you because they did fish you out, and you were pretty banged up, right?
Yeah, I lost my glasses. That was actually the biggest damage of the whole trip. We didn't get the quad back, but my glasses were more expensive than the prototype, so I was really bummed about that.
I can imagine.
Oh, man. Well, we had a blast hanging out with you today. One of the biggest things that was a blessing about having you over is the new FPV laws, and actually it's bigger than we call them FPV ban, but it's so much bigger, and you kind of brought our attention to that, and it was honestly a shock to our system, because we absolutely love doing what we do. Our families do it together. It's a blessing to be part of this hobby and also to get the opportunity to work in this industry. But what the FAA is proposing, does it just affect FPV, does it?
Yeah, it's a big misconception also in the forums. A lot of people are thinking this is a reaction to maybe TBS videos or maybe to the Phantom videos that have been coming out lately that are primarily FPV. But actually what it really is the FAA trying to redefine what they think is a hobby. And they're taking a very narrow stance on it, and so narrow that even the AMA is up in arms about it. The AMA already has a very limited view on what FPV really is, and I think even for us it would be hard to abide by all of the AMA rules. So if they're up in arms about it, you know it's a big problem.
You know it's beyond FPV. Yeah. This isn't just like a scare tactic. It's legitimately crossing some major bounds. And frankly, they monetize model aviation too. So
exactly.
The laws that FAA are proposing or actually trying to enforce, I say it wrong. Can you clarify like what?
Well, they're not really laws, and I think Brendan is going to have a better way of wording this, but it's a reinterpretation of a definition. So they've taken the 2012 FAA Modernization Act, and they've reinterpreted what the term model aircraft means for them, and they've actually taken a statute that prevents them from regulating model aircraft. To regulate model aircraft.
They took the thing that limits them and they said, okay, by your definition, this may limit us, but we're going to go ahead and interpret it differently, which gives us rights. So what it says you can't do, they're defining as what they can do.
Exactly.
And correct me if I'm wrong, they're doing this basically to test the waters to see what the reaction to them doing that is. I mean, because they have zero consequences for failure.
Exactly.
So if for some reason trying that doesn't work, they have no consequences.
It's a trial balloon.
And this is a run into the regulations that will be coming late 2015.
Sure.
And they're kind of testing the waters now. How far can they go and how much can they limit? And later on this will turn into money for them.
Yeah.
And if they can redefine model aircraft and the model aviation hobby to be something that's commercial and something they can regulate, that only means more job security for them.
More fines for them.
It only means more finable offenses for them.
Yeah.
And this is something that affects the not just FPV, but the entire RC industry in the United States.
Yeah, basically, it states that you're not able to profit off of the act of flying an aircraft.
Yeah.
So technically speaking, testing a prototype.
Yeah.
Or flying on a YouTube show or flying a noontime demo.
Yeah.
I mean, any of that stuff is going to become a finable offense. Or technically it is.
Yeah.
It already is right now.
Well, they haven't really named what the finable offense would be, but they've said that they will be taking actions based on laws that are in place right now for real aircraft. So you're gonna see the same kind of laws that have been applied to my court case. Like flying below tree level, flying close to a railway road, stuff like that will then be an offense with a model aircraft.
It's very ironic because that's the very thing that they don't really have jurisdiction as, don't do they?
Exactly, yeah. In 1946, there was a Supreme Court decision that actually limited them from making regulations in navigable airspace only. And navigable airspace is defined as 500 feet and up.
Yeah.
And I think Brendan will touch on this topic as well, because actually the FAA does not have the jurisdiction to make regulations.
So theoretically, according to what you kind of hinted at, and Brendan will be able to clarify maybe a little bit better, my private property, say, is 20 acres. Yeah. I can fly over my property up to 400 feet, and the FAA has no right to say what I'm doing within that 400 feet window, well, according to that law.
They have always taken the right for that, but actually, it's not really a right for them. So that would need to be solidified in a test case.
So they have, and they have taken the right, but technically they shouldn't be able to do that.
They shouldn't be able to.
They've taken liberties that have not been afforded to them.
Exactly. Wow. I mean, they were created to regulate full scale aircraft.
Yeah.
And I think it's okay for them to regulate model aircraft in a sense that to make sure that we avoid full scale aircraft.
Yeah, safety and people first.
Exactly. But yeah. You know, after that point. Local regulations already take care of you flying your model aircraft recklessly and endangering people on the ground.
Yeah.
Right. And the guy in New York, he was fined for reckless endangerment.
Correct.
As he should have been.
By the NYPD.
Yeah. Right? That was kind of the unfortunate thing. I was looking at more of the story that the recording is the chopper. This is a bad thing. They were flying line of sight. They weren't flying FPV in that case, right?
No, that's not the chopper incident. This is the guy that hit the building with the Phantom.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Not the most recent one.
No. That one's still pending. And that's really strange because the cops actually flew at the Phantom, not the Phantom.
Yeah.
That's what I think Josh was just going to reference that.
Just recently in the papers, it was, you know, drone flies at police helicopter. Well, there's recordings, you know, of the police dispatch talking back and forth. And actually what happened, and these guys were in the wrong for flying close to a bridge. You know, they were line of sight and everything. But where it was portrayed in the media that they were chasing and going after this helicopter, it was actually the latter, where the helicopter spotted them and then chased after them and followed them all the way back. That's how they got caught. And the dialogue between the people and the cops and everything, you could tell that they were clearly chasing after the machine, not the machine chasing after them and they're tracking it down. And they were like, well, what do we find them for? And they're like, we don't know. Let's just keep chasing them, you know, and figure it out by the time we hit the ground. And they were, you know what, I have no problem with people doing foolish things getting punished for that.
Yeah.
That's what I think the FAA should be doing, is when you fly up and you endanger an airplane, you should track that sucker down and find him and hold him accountable.
Definitely.
But you don't limit the technology, and especially great companies, you know, anywhere from Horizon all the way down to Stevens Aero Models and, like, great companies, Radical RCs, Altitude Hobbies. This is a billion-dollar industry. This is not a small industry anymore. There's a lot of people that make their livings from advancing this technology and also developing it and creating it. So, you know, why eliminate that in America?
Exactly. And these reinterpretations are totally unnecessary, and they're putting them into a kind of a gray area, you know, where it's not really comfortable for them to operate in. I mean, most of the guys won't need to fear persecution by the FAA, but you always have that kind of in the back of your head.
Yeah.
And it's also an opportunity to be unfair with competition. You can just call up the FAA and say, hey, this guy's probably testing illegally or flying commercially and maybe even flying FPV beyond visual line of sight.
And for an agency, for them, it's like, okay, someone's called in on them, let's take action, because they only now have something to benefit. That's fines. That's when someone finds you and they go after you, it justifies a job, and that job justifies their budget. And it's a domino effect in the wrong direction. So it's not just the fines. Okay, we can make, you know, $10,000 on this fine. They get to now hire people and get a bigger piece of the taxpayer budget. And that's just wrong on a lot of levels, too.
And this is getting
a little political, I know, but it's very serious.
Yeah, and all of these actions kind of re-justify them growing even bigger. And in the end, it's not going to be beneficial for anybody.
No.
Because once they start to fine you, you can't really fight it in court. If you fight it in court, it has to be in a matter of principle. If you're a business person, you're going to pay the fine. Like, there's no way a $10,000 is fine as peanuts compared to fighting this in court.
You know, the sad reality of that is, too, is once you've been probably tagged by them, I'm sure you're going to be a target from that point on.
Yeah.
Because, they pay. You know?
Well, maybe I'm lucky now because they lost the court case.
Well, a lot of people I saw in the comments, a lot of people made the comment, well, it's because of you, Trappy, that, you know, that the FAA is taking their stance and going after. Do you want to bring some clarity? Because, you know, what they're doing is, they may have used you as an opportunity, but I'll let you speak for that.
I just want to clarify one thing regarding, you know, court cases against the FAA regarding full scale.
Yeah.
The FAA does not lose.
No.
When it comes to full-scale violations and fines, the FAA never loses. But one very rare case where they have lost is when it comes to models.
Yeah.
And so that kind of tells you where the law falls,
yeah.
you know, and how the courts are viewing this. So if you're fortunate enough to have, you know, $500,000 to take this to court, you know, there's a chance that you would win, but it's very unlikely.
Yeah. I mean, they have the option to keep appealing this and yeah. just drag it on and up to a point where we will have to fold.
They're professionally bugging you about it.
Yeah, yeah,
that's literally their job. You know, so
yeah, and they have been caught doing that before, quite a lot of times already.
It's kind
yeah.
of ironic when you think about the big picture, because if they run out of money, they get a line item budget that gives them more money.
Yeah, exactly.
Where if you run out of money, it destroys your business.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't want to go off the topic and stuff. Can you bring some clarity that? You know, it wasn't you doing the things you did that made them do this. They just seized the opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have this opinion, and it's hard to change somebody's opinion. But
yeah.
Just if you look at the facts of, you know, the way they reinterpreted this, they're using a 2009 definition for FPV. So they haven't really changed their stance on FPV. What they're doing is they're reinterpreting what they've already said before in a way that makes it sure that it still applies. So... They actually thought it applied back when I was flying, and the judge told them no, it doesn't. Yeah. So now they used a different different paragraph of the law to say exactly the same thing once again. So actually, my court case has kind of rattled them up, and created a public awareness of the FAA abusing their power. And I don't think that the response in the media would have been this big if it weren't for my court case. I mean, we've been in Washington Post with this, we've been in New York Times with this, and a lot of people are really upset with the FAA, not just in the hobby,
yeah.
but also in the commercial sector, you know, in Amazon, Engadget is reporting about it. There's a lot of companies out that are monitoring this and are bringing this to public awareness. And I think this is really where our court case has benefited our entire fight. And I don't think the FAA isn't necessarily a retaliatory agency. And I don't think that even if they were, it would still be a point to criticize the FAA about, because a regulatory agency shouldn't be going after a single person, whether they believe what he does mm-hmm. is good or not. They shouldn't change national policy based on what a single person is doing. So I think in all ways you can look at the FAA and really say that they're abusing this power.
Makes a lot of sense. And also the fact with 2009, I can honestly say I don't think FPV was really mainstream back then. It was
no,
like,
I wasn't even flying back then.
You're describing technology back then where the capabilities now in 2014, it's night and day.
Yeah.
The safety level, the abilities, the benefits that have been realized from it. So when you're like, if you ask back in the 1930s, describe model aircraft and use that language from the 1930s, well, radio control wouldn't be existing there. It'd be a model aircraft
is
something that's guided by wires or something that is, you know, flown free flight.
Yeah.
Well, then RC comes along, you know, you can't describe based on that old, you know, definition. It has to evolve in that case.
Yeah.
And the one thing that doesn't evolve is our Constitution and the way that they're abusing the powers. I mean, they're taking government tax dollars and using that to go after individuals to pursue their special interests
yeah.
of having more money funneled their way and more power over what they see as a big growing industry.
Yeah.
And that's where, as an individual and an American, I'm really sad, because it's basically our tax dollars being used against us.
Yeah, and you can clearly see that their involvement is becoming bigger as this industry grows. So they're kind of seeing the potential of it. They see that it will replace general aviation within the next 30 to 50 years.
Yeah.
And they're kind of fearing for their jobs in a way, because I don't think 50 years down the road there's going to be a lot of pilots in the air.
No, right now they even have the Airbus that they have the patent or the design with the Airbus.
Airbus patented a windowless cockpit design.
Yeah.
That basically, you know, uses cameras and, you know, virtual reality to recreate the landscape and the yeah. instruments and that sort of thing inside the cockpit. Yeah. So,
and I'll be honest, I always would find comfort. I think if someone's flying 300 people, it's worth having, you know, two people up front.
Yeah.
Being there in case something goes wrong. I think that just is practical and logical. But I do see this technology benefiting, like, farmers and crops. I'd rather have a, as they call it, a drone. I like to call it a UAS
yeah.
or something, you know, a little bit more appropriate or realistic. But where it used to be a farmer wanting to monitor his crops, he would have to jump in an ultralight and fly 30 feet above the ground while looking down and navigate, you know, just above the crops. Now you can set up a little tiny foam airplane and have that done, and done better and done more accurately and done safer and cleaner. So if we're all about CO2 footprints and stuff, a Weed Whacker ultralight is going to be a little bit more polluting than a lipo-powered wing.
You know? Yeah, of course. Everything's going to be more polluting.
So I mean, there's all these things that are somewhat hypocritical. You got to look at what benefits the community and pursue this technology. And I think, honestly, the American ingenuity is amazing. Yeah. You don't want to kill that over something as simple as fear for what it could become in the future.
Yeah.
That's where you go back to punishing people for bad behavior.
Exactly. And you know, it's not like other countries are doing the same thing, and that's kind of a problem, because in the end, the businesses will just move elsewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's kind of the sad part.
You know, Horizon can't develop their products because of these laws in America. Well, guess what? A bunch of people get fired and moved. You know, that technology of those people get moved out of the country. Why in the world would anyone in America want that, you know? So I guess, you know, it started with FPV because that's the hot button topic, calling things drones and everything, but it reaches to just, it could be a 12-year-old putting a YouTube video on that's really awesome.
Exactly, yeah.
Flying line of sight. But if he profits from that through Google Ads or something, he's now in technical violation.
Yeah.
And that affects, obviously, our livelihoods here at Flight Test, but it also is going to affect so many other hundreds, if not thousands of people.
So what's a solution?
Well, I think part of that question, and I think a good question to ask, kind of to preface that, what would you guys say to the person that says, well, you know, the government's always going to meddle, and you know, kind of have, you know, if this person kind of has a defeatist attitude, you know, like, well, I'll fly in my backyard, nobody's going to bother me, I don't upload anything to YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, what do I have to lose? Why should I worry about this?
The technology they buy is going to extremely be halted. You know what I mean? Because the who's going to want to make technology that now is illegal?
Yeah, and they're still flying in a gray area most of the times. And if aircraft laws can be applied against you, it starts to get really nasty.
Yeah.
So, you know, if anything happens, let's say a servo breaks and God forbid you crash into a house, you cannot only be held liable for damaging somebody's property. You can actually be held liable for, I don't know, if you have a pilot's license, that pilot's license can be revoked because you flew a real aircraft into somebody's building.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
According to the FAA's definition.
According to the FAA's definition,
Every person that flies something. I mean, even, I think, didn't your judge make a comment? Well, technically, to the FAA, technically a paper airplane is a drone.
Exactly, yeah. How they define it, even if you throw an airplane out of the window, you would need to call the air traffic controls. Wow.
Chart a flight plan.
Yeah.
yes, and, from the
and
window.
Better not deviate from that.
it blows my mind and it saddens me in so many different ways. But it is something we need to do. And honestly, I think by the definition, if they're attacking model aviation because of coming from the attitude of safety, privacy, things, that rolls over just to recreational flight full scale too.
Yeah.
So they can say, you know what, we've grounded models. You know what, technically everyone can do the same with full scale flight. So really that shouldn't be going on too. And it can get down to where it's just used for public use and for government use.
Yeah.
And it can kill the whole entire recreational aspect of flight, which I know obviously our founding fathers didn't write about it because, frankly, it didn't exist then.
They weren't able to fly.
Yeah, but I do think that's a certain right we should all have.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think in the video that we released, you know, the title of it was something with FPV and the FAA.
Yeah.
I think a little bit of a disservice that we did was not making it clear that this affects the entire hobby.
Well, I was kind of ignorant on that. I didn't realize the scope of how much it actually overlapped just generally.
Well,
aviation.
It's tough to know. There's like a mystery, you know, revolved around all of this. And
the literature, you know, it just, if you read it in one pass, it seems very vague, when in reality it's saying a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you get, like Brendan and I have been talking this about a lot, you know, once you get into the details, what they've done is really clever.
Yeah.
Because they've pretty much nullified what the judge is going to be ruling. Like, end of August is when the decision is going to be, from the appeal, is going to be expected to be coming. And they've pretty much nullified that already, which would have been a really nice solution for the whole, you know, regulation process. Because then it would have said the FAA does not have any rules in place. by making a reinterpretation, it becomes a different legal ballpark.
Yeah.
So they could argue that case again, and you know, then again, it's a question of $10,000 versus $250,000 of fighting it.
Yeah, that's a sad reality. I hate the idea that people are doing good things, you know, can be destroyed.
Yeah.
And it's funny because when you came in, I was like, I felt really bad about all the time and energy you had to put into that. And you looked at us and you're like, I feel bad for you guys.
Yeah.
So
what can people do?
Yeah, I mean, basically, you know, people are a little bit boiled up about this, and rightfully so. The number one thing that you can do is you can leave a comment about this new interpretation to the FAA through regulations.gov. And we'll put a link to that in the show notes of this.
Yep.
If you want to access the show notes, you just click the podcast menu item on flighttest.com.
Yep. Also AMA too.
Yep.
Well, join the AMA, yeah.
Definitely.
They've actually been in Washington the day before yesterday. Brendan got an update about a meeting that they had with the FAA. And they've raised all of the points that we gave to them, and I think they're our best chance of fighting this at a political level at the moment.
Yeah.
It's a small investment, and it makes a huge difference. You know, every member that they acquire only gives them more clout and gives them more power.
And so. And they actually have a donations button for regulatory matters. So TBS has made a donation to their cause, and you just take it when you apply for the membership. You can take how much you want to donate, and the membership is only $50.
Sure, yeah. We'll definitely link to that.
And I do gotta say one thing. I know in the past, what a lot of hobby fields were that were under AMA, they used the AMA as a reason to justify their bureaucracy. They wouldn't say this is how we want it. They would say this is what AMA demands. My eyes just 2 years ago were open because we had a claim when we were my flying ministry. A kid got hit in the face with a plane. AMA was phenomenal. I know I've talked about the story before, but
he had a free membership too because it was under 19.
He was under 19, had a free membership, and what happened is the one plane lost control, and it was a strike to the face, put a cut right through the kid's eyelid, and he was a millimeter from losing his sight in one eye. And AMA covered the surgery. They covered even to the point where scar removal. You know what I mean? And the kid's doing wonderful now. It was such a fluke, horrible thing, but free membership, and I think the dad told me it was roughly $25,000 that they put out to fix the kid's eyelid, all the way to the point where it's no longer in existence anymore. You don't see it.
That's awesome.
That's exceptional, and I want to share that as many times because, frankly, I used to look at the AMA and be like, why pay $50 for a magazine subscription in the hope of getting covered? Well, frankly, I think I'm wrong because they did pretty good by that kid, and I've heard a lot of stories that back that up too.
Yeah.
So, if you're not a member of the AMA, even if it's not a sanctioned club, they do bring benefits outside, and umbrella coverage is outside flying fields. You still want to operate within their principles, but I think it's a small price to pay. And also going back to flying FPV and everything, I have no problem with staying under 400 feet. People first, I think that's responsible and good, and if that's the compromise that needs to be made, you should never be in the clouds anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, they also used to have the spotter rule where you had to be tied to the guy's transmitter.
Yeah.
But I actually released that now, that in the sense that you only have a spotter now.
Yeah.
And then you need to be able to pass over control.
And that makes perfect sense.
That makes perfect sense, yeah.
Just coming from a fiscal point of view with that, I don't want to lose $1,000 worth of gear, by being stubborn and saying I don't need a spotter, because you never know what can happen.
Yeah, exactly. If you run out of battery and you have to do an emergency landing, the spotter can at least point to where you went down.
Yeah, and just to make it clear, too, none of us at this table are against regulation.
No.
We all feel very strongly that this type of thing should be regulated. It just shouldn't be banned.
Correct.
You know, we need proper regulation so the technology can progress, the hobby can progress, and everyone can be happy.
And the industry can progress.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The benefits, I mean, just to see, like, in my family, what a blessing it's been, but also get to talk to other families, you know, that the family does this as a family hobby.
Yeah.
And the wives are happy because the dads are engaging with the kids. The kids are happy because the dad's around and doing stuff with them. It's an awesome, beautiful thing. And I get very upset and angry when I see anyone touching that formula, because it's a formula that's good and healthy for people.
Yeah, and the technology goes beyond the hobby, too.
Yeah.
It truly has the power to just improve the quality of life, like, in general. It will. You know, it's just a matter of time before this technology starts doing good for humanity.
Well, you were sharing with us and stuff because your long-range discovery, a lot of people think that you're a bad boy. You're passionate about maybe the technology more than you know, you don't mind, I don't think, the bad boy persona somewhat, but you're passionate about technology.
Yeah. Yeah, basically we don't mind the bad boy persona because we don't think what we do is really that bad. We try to push the technology, and oftentimes that takes us to places where people say we shouldn't fly.
Yeah, and I can definitely respect where they're coming from, and that's just a difference of opinion. But what I do appreciate about you is just even the multirotor you brought down, that the extended long range. People say, oh, long range, that must be bad. Well, long range means long flight.
Yeah.
Long flight means farmers can use this. And you were talking about technology where now a farmer can put a certain camera on it. And what is it? It gives them a 2-week lead time to a problem?
Yeah, well, actually, it gives them a 2-week lead time to traditional methods that they use now with full-scale airplane.
Okay.
And it lets them see how much of their crop is being damaged by a certain fungus or pesticide or whatever. And they can apply the right kind of nutrients to it.
So they can target something 2 weeks ahead of time. Now imagine if you have a 2 weeks lead time to a problem. Now you're efficiently attacking the problem because you're almost attacking it before it happens.
Exactly.
You're foreseeing it. You're attacking it locally, which means you're using less chemicals, less issues, and then you're getting a more bountiful crop, which blesses more people.
Yeah.
Now that's a direct story and a direct reality of what this technology does for people.
And the long range discovery is also being used in Switzerland for search and recovery missions.
Yeah.
Where you strap a thermal image camera on it, and they fly up the mountain and look for a missing person.
Wow.
And just 2 weeks ago, we were flying when the real chopper couldn't because it was too windy and too dangerous to fly, and our guy on the ground was out up there, battery after battery, looking for one guy that had wandered off course and fell down a ravine.
Wow.
They didn't find him alive, but eventually they found him.
Wow. That shows that, you know, and even I talked to a tower guy, and there was a knocked out cell tower because of ice. And he's like, well, we can't climb it until the temperature gets up to this temperature and the ice goes down to here and we can't get up there. Well, we could take our multirotor up and read the serial numbers on the side of that. And he says half the time for those towers, they climb up, you know, 300 feet, and what is a rubber booty that's off. And they have to climb down and get the rubber booty and then come back up. You know, he said if we could have this ability to see this before, just go up. Now you're not putting any man in danger, but you are using a man to fly up and see that. And then you have the proper things to service that piece of equipment. And cell towers and telecommunication is so important nowadays for safety, for a lot of other reasons. You know, that's where this hobby can take people to really save lives and benefit people. And I love the emotional connection aspect, but also for civil reasons, this hobby is amazing.
Yeah.
Also, I wanted to mention regarding the regulations.gov comment that you can leave for the FAA, that they do look at that very seriously and take that into consideration when modifying this interpretation.
Yeah.
So this is not official until there's room left to comment until July 25th.
Well, actually, it's already in effect.
Correct. Right.
But you can still comment, and it will very likely be taken
into consideration. They'll reinterpret the reinterpretation.
Yes, exactly.
It'll increase the likelihood that they'll change it based on your comments. And also, you don't need to have a perfectly written 5 paragraphs, you know, in order to make a comment. Because one thing that they also look at is the amount of comments. They don't necessarily read every one.
Yeah.
But they look at the content of the majority of the comments. And then, you know, they're also looking at the number of comments because that tells them how important it is to people. And I believe this morning it was around 3,500 comments. In reality, that number needs to be at like 50,000.
Yeah.
And that's very realistic. I mean, 20 to 30,000 people listen to this podcast. And so I would encourage you guys, it will take, you know, 3 or 4 minutes of your time, but it's definitely worth it.
Go to the link below.
It makes a big difference.
And maybe ask your parents or your girlfriend or your wife to
spread the word.
Yeah.
Yeah, and honestly, like I said, it'll bring something good. You know, this is not to protect what we want to do to play. It'll bring, you know, keep the progress of something good happening. And
you guys will probably hear us talking about this more in the future.
Until the 25th.
Until the 25th.
And then we'll be talking about how it's going to affect us.
Right. And the guy named Brendan that we've been referring to was Trappy's lawyer through his FAA court case, Brendan Schulman. And he'll be coming here to flight test next week.
And he's passionate about flight as well, too.
Yeah, he's been in the hobby for 20-some years.
And he's also defending Texas EquiSearch, which is a nonprofit organization that are searching for missing people. And the FAA is actually also going after them. So it's not just a reckless flight that they're going after. It's also just people doing this, even non-profit.
It's anything in the future they can monetize they're going after.
They consider this commercial as well.
That's amazing.
Brendan's an extremely sharp guy. We're looking forward to talking to him. We're obviously going to have him on the podcast, do an episode with him. But this is really important, guys, and we appreciate your support and your action.
Yeah, sorry this podcast is a little more somber. But I think sometimes, you know, you got to take some serious notes to continue to pursue what brings you joy.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I think on that note, Trappy, thank you, man, for taking the time to come out and spend some time.
Thanks for having me.
It's always good to fly with you, man.
Yeah. And great job on, like I said, the new technology at long range, and also that little mini hex. I can't wait to see that final production that we can actually touch and try to crash.
We'll get you some. Looking forward to that.
Very cool. All right. How do we sign off on this now? Usually we end up on a nice note and happy note.
Well,
see you next time.
See you next time.
Yeah, don't forget to go to the links below. Check out AMA's response. Yeah. Keep tabs on all those things.
We need to work together on this. So each and every one of you, your voice definitely matters. So again, that's regulations.gov.
Yep, and you can if you go to the flighttest.com, in the menu bar, click podcast, and this is podcast 35, I believe.
If we have 30,000 people and every one of those people respond, that would be huge.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll hug every one of you.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, see you guys.
See you
next time.